It's 1957, we're in the final church of Kells Union, Kilmaganny, the church of Magiana, who apparently was an ancient Irish virgin saint whose day was once kept on the 29th of January. One thing I've often noticed in Kells Union and in other parishes too is how very good the notice boards outside the various themselves well-proportioned churches are. We may think that all information now is derived online and through websites, Facebook pages and so on, but it's so important still to have an accurate board outside churches that gives a sense of welcome, that provides information that is accurate about times and contact numbers, and truly makes the passing visitor feel that if they come back the following Sunday, there will be a service at the prescribed time to welcome them. I still get people, when we have normal holiday season, sometimes writing me letters of disappointment or even complaint about inaccurate church notice boards. So just a thought, always make sure they are accurate and don't put off painting them or renewing them until some other day. 1957. One hesitates almost to mention it, but that was the year of the Feather Dunsea boycott, the famous, notorious boycott of the Church of Ireland community in and around the village of Feathert, as a result of a campaign that it was really launched by the rather firebrand priest, Father Stafford. 50 years on from the boycott in 2007, I was new in the diocese then, but I did mention the matter quietly in a very different Feathered in the church. But we were all conscious then that Mrs. Cloney, who was one of the, who was the sort of person most caught up in the matter, was still alive, and she had always chosen to keep her counsel and was respected for that, even when the story about the boycott of touching on her family and her, the wider community from which she came, was being made into a film known as A Love Divided. A Love Divided was a very good film, although, like all films, it takes certain liberties with the facts. For example, it presents the rector of the day, Fisher, as being at the time rather a senior man. In fact, he was a very young clergyman. And at the time I came into the diocese, he was still alive, living near London, and I was in correspondence with him. The boycott was all about the alleged non-fulfillment of prenuptial promises concerning the upbringing and education of children that in those days were required of the Church of Ireland partner in a mixed marriage by the Roman Catholic Church if they were to recognise the marriage. The boycott, the background to the boycott was all about that, and about the mother refusing, it seemed, to stick with the promises and instead fleeing with the children as far as Scotland, and the boycotting of her community until they the children returned was the result. It has to be said that the Clonies were brought back together again. The children grew up and were educated at home, and life moved on. But it was a dramatic boycott, very much a full head-on boycott of the Church of Ireland community and all their businesses and lands and so on. And it apparently ended when the firebrand priest became isolated even with his own church and under pressure from De Valera's government, and he signalled an end by going into the Protestant shop to buy sweet aft and cigarettes. Interesting that, though, that it was a very local thing. It never really spread far up the road. In Clonroach, at the very same time, the neighbours were, as always, going to the Protestant faith to support it as usual. Now, in some ways, all this is better forgotten. We live in a different land in different times, and genuine apologies have been long since offered. But very quickly, a few points. In that rather divided time, it's no harm, for the sake of fairness, to bear in mind that the Church of Ireland officially didn't come out of it perfectly either. The then bishop, one of my predecessors, didn't probably read the situation entirely sensitively. He came to visit Feathered and apparently declared that if you're going to have mixed marriages, you'll have this sort of thing. Secondly, the whole thing was very much exploited by very extreme Protestants in Northern Ireland and even into Scotland, people of a fundamentalist hue who would have had, frankly, little time for the Church of Ireland in many ways. And finally, it was the year before the election of Pope John the 23rd. In many ways, we shouldn't focus overmuch on the boycott because it's the kind of worst example of how things used to be before he opened the windows and turned the church upside down. At the very same age, incidentally, when he began his work as Joe Biden is now. I suppose the significance of the boycott was that it was both dramatic, yet quite unusual and local. A cause celebre and painful for those involved, but not a lens through which to view relationships in Ireland before there was ecumenism. And of course, since then, it has been entirely different.